Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. It's been a New Year's tradition on the show to bring up the folk belief that the first visitor to your house in the new year will determine the state of your flock for the next 364 days, and the general zeitgeist of your life for that matter. My first visitor this year was Rob Ryan, a listener from East Montpelier, who knows me from Carl Ittenire's Relocalizing Vermont show on WGDR-WGDH. He didn't literally visit, but a package, the fruits of a collaborative project I was honored to be a part of, arrived in my mailbox the first day of the year, and I knew right off the extended Bacall Flocks 2012 would be like Rob, all about creativity, innovation, and knowing how to have a good time. Not to say 2011 wasn't a good time. I spent some of my winter staycation reminiscing about the highs and lows of the year, and then I realized I underestimated just how active we were until I went through my archive of shows on RadioForAll.net. One of the first chickeny activities of 2011 was giving a chicken talk in Worcester, Massachusetts last spring, where chickens had just recently been legalized. I met a slew of folks who were excited to get started. I never did a show about that one because there was so much pandemonium and so many questions I couldn't get audio, but I gained several new listeners. I was inspired and energized for months. We got all kinds of positive feedback in 2011. We had a photo shoot from fine art photographer Elizabeth T. Jones, who was inspired by the aesthetics of chickens to embark on a series of beautiful photos that bring even wider audience to the truth of the holistic benefits of the chicken. And she started with My Little Flock. I was also contacted by several media to do stories about chickening and my chicken outreach. Cranes, Daily News, Huffington Post, NBC's First Look. Every time, it was always the photographers, even more than the journalists, who were the most enthralled, which has made me look, and I mean really look, at chickens with a new eye. I also tasted the best chicken I've ever tasted, grass-fed and super kosher by a company called Grow and Behold. My support of chicken eating has always been almost theoretical. Since I love the little critters so much, and believe in their talent as garden assistants, egg providers, and mental health aides, that it always seemed kind of a shame to eat them. Especially since most chicken I ate, even the organic, free-range, and all of that chicken, just didn't taste that good. But after interviewing Anna and Naftali, and learning about the ethics and spirituality that led them to go into the grass-fed, humanely-fed, kosher meat business, and then eating some of their product, was the first time I was truly and completely convinced that eating sustainable quantities of chicken deserves a revered place in the ideal food system. I also hung out with Noah Leff of Victory Chickens, who took a concept almost every chickener pop dreams about and worked out the details to make it a reality, providing chicken setup services for folks who, for various reasons, can't quite do it themselves but can afford his reasonable price. I admired Noah's business model, driven by a desire to share knowledge first, but with a well-deserved interest in compensation. Artist Tat Phu Tan incorporates his aesthetics and ethics into every action he takes, so far as I can tell. It was an honor to spend a day with him and observe how he integrates chickens into his work, creating beauty and social progress as a unified pursuit. I finally got myself to the North American Mecca for the Sarama breed of chickens. The Bacall flock of three Sarama hens have allowed me to lodge with chickens in my one-bedroom apartment and transport them at least weekly throughout the city and beyond to chicken talks and demonstrations and field trips. The breed's origins are a breeding flock of Sarama that were brought to Louisiana from Malaysia by the legendary Jerry Schnecksnader at the dawn of our 21st century. Interest grows as the breed is perfected by dedicated breeders, and I say it won't be long before they become the most popular breed. One of my chicken buddies and mentors, Sam Trayton, and I drove out from the East to Louisiana for the annual Cajun Classic. I learned a lot about recording audio in the wind, don't do it, but still came back with the information for a great show, and I met some of the most interesting and diverse chickeners in our country. One of the best good times I had all year was going out to Governor's Island, where Earth Matter, a group that has been composting food and yard waste in Brooklyn for many years, now has a compost demonstration learning center on an interesting piece of New York City real estate, an island that served as a military base until very recently. There, chickens are a key component of the composting, and also of drawing people in to learn about how they can compost. You can see a short clip on my YouTube channel, Mr. Bucky Bacall, of me chipping in before the interview. I was also pleased in 2011 to learn that the home of the original flock and the place where this broadcast started, Boise, Idaho, enjoyed their second tour de coupe in Boise, as reported by my good friend and Bacaw correspondent, Kevin Bayhouse. Visits that never happened because of scheduling snafus, but I look forward to this year, include three rooftop gardens, including chickens, each with a different set of personalities and methods, and additional farms and gardens in New York City and beyond. I'm hoping this year will be the year I can finally visit some of my Vermont coops. I also have met more people in the creative arts who have embraced chickening. Always fabulous interview experiences. And just recently, I had a very promising meeting with a young fella with experience in producing television shows, and he and I discussed some very exciting ideas for extending the reach of the Bacaw agenda. So there's a lot in store, and as much as I strive for a good time and keeping the show positive, I still have to acknowledge that 2011 was at times the toughest year for chickening since I began the broadcast. For instance, mid-year, I conducted an interview with Ronna Morris, a key member of the Albany, New York Chicken Coalition. Chickens had been legal in Albany, but the code was changed on account of one boisterous rooster. The group did everything from the Best Practices and Advocacy Handbook to re-legalize chickening, and their bill did indeed pass after much persistence, but it was then vetoed by the mayor. Shortly after my Albany interview, an awesome woman named Brenda J. Helm sent me a message telling me about her situation in Niskayuna, New York, where the question of legality continues to be in a kind of limbo, and the reality is that microflock chickening has been banished for the time being. To their credit, Brenda and her husband John soldier on with their many activities and interests, including their micro-farming initiative. I want them to finally prevail in 2012. After meeting Ronna and Brenda, I finally got around to setting up a newsreader to track mention of backyard chickens, urban agriculture, and micro-farming. Well, I saw lots of positive press about chickens and chickening as a growing national interest and all the things it can do. I also saw many municipalities now illegalizing chickens. Joseph Pond, another listener who I met through Facebook, lost his effort to adjust the code in Cobb County, Georgia, allowing him to raise his 13 chickens on his half-acre lot, which is apparently too small. The current code is 2 acres. I missed my chance to interview Joseph. We both had our hands full this winter. I hope someday I can talk to him when he has chickens in his backyard again. I know he doesn't intend to give up easily either. It's frustrating when internationally urban farming is actively promoted by national and local governments as a solution to environment and resource issues. In large, sprawling United States cities like New York, Seattle, Chicago, and LA not only permit, but have begun to even encourage urban agriculture. Yet smaller cities are surprisingly resistant. As a New York City resident, Albany and Niskayuna were a little shocking to me. In Georgia, in the metro areas of Decatur, Atlanta, Smyrna, Roswell, and Alpharetta, backyard birds are allowed. But Joseph Pond had to rehome his flock. My day job is as a public policy professional, and when I first started chickening, I was doing a lot of issues activism and even ran for state senate. So I do understand the frustration and also satisfaction of changing policy, where just when you think you're winning, you're losing again, and then you're winning again, and your allies become your opponents, and then come back on your side with new recruits, and it's not over till it's over, but it's never really over. But knowing persistence carries the day is small consolation for folks who've lost their flocks. But I am confident that as right-thinking cities continue to allow chickening, folks in the anti-chicken cities will finally see that chickening enhances neighborhoods by bringing people together to share agricultural knowledge, just to gawk at their cuteness, and empowers them to make healthy choices. I received one final positive sign for the forecast in 2012. As I was researching this episode, I came across a small victory, the first chicken story I read on my news search, regarding the legalization of chickens in Pinellas County, Florida. Commissioners voted in favor after hearing from at least a half dozen residents who spoke in support of the proposal during what was apparently a marathon meeting ending after 1 a.m. Many residents spoke about how raising chickens had helped them feed their families during tough economic times without nuisance to neighbors. So here's to more legalizations in 2012. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time.